Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me, as always, Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, Joe and Andrew Kiss?
And Mr. Andrew Kiss!
Tonight on Miami Vice, Crockett gets the boss a coffee.
See, that's good. I like that one. Listen, we didn't do a show last week, and I'm going to tell you why. Straight off the bat, I had no electricity till about 9 o'clock at night, and it sucked. But unfortunately, in my little teeny-ass town, a guy driving an 18-wheeler, had a seizure, crashed into the electrical power lines, and knocked the power out. And even if we wanted to, we couldn't have done a show. And I know they life-flighted the guy. I haven't heard anything else, and I feel, you know, that's the true story. And it's really effed up because I live in such a small town that just hitting one pole fucks everything up for the entire town. But that's the breaks. Anyway, hey, thanks for listening to the last show. You know, we love doing them for you, and we hope you keep listening. We want to break out the news real quick. And it's the thing that everybody's talking about, and that's Dee Snider and Paul Stanley are jabbing at each other.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Exactly.
Ding, ding.
Exactly. Okay, so I'll go ahead and tell you what I think about it, and then you guys can go ahead and join in. First of all, you know, I've been watching what people are saying. I mean, it's amazing how many Kiss fans are on Dee's side. For me, I'm thinking to myself, you know, he went first. You know, he didn't think when Eddie Trunk said to him, I guess he asked him, how do you feel about, you know, the Kiss situation? He went into detail how insulting it is and blah, blah, blah. Instead of just taking the high road and going, you know what, I don't really like it, but the fans seem to like it. People are going, and, you know, they're going to do what they want to with their band. Instead, he elaborated on how he felt it was insulting. Now, people are going, well, he's just like any other fan, and he's expressing his opinions. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, that's bullshit. It has nothing to do about being a fan. It has to do with Dee Snider wanting Kiss fans to go, yeah, screw you, Kiss. I'm going to be a Twisted Sister fan now.
Really?
At least that's the
They're
way.
Going to jump on that. Now?
Yeah. Right.
After all these years?
Yeah, but at least that's the way I think about it. What do you guys think?
No, I'm saying that's probably his intentions, but really? Like, they're in their 60s.
Yeah.
I think
they're going to be going to Delaware soon, you know, to...
Delaware.
No offense to anyone from Delaware, but just isn't that a big retirement community?
Yeah, in Florida.
In Florida? Yeah,
Florida.
But you know what I mean? Like... doing this now, like, this is, it's not even funny. It's just,
yeah,
like, why, you know?
I think it's Dee Snider is really grasping just for any kind of publicity, and he's trying to stroke Eddie Trunk a little bit because Eddie feels the same way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, you know what I felt like? I felt like two different things were going on here. One, I felt like it was like Japan hitting Pearl Harbor. Paul Stanley sitting at home minding his own business. Next thing you know, boom, he gets smacked across the face, you know, by Dee Snider. And this happened way back in March. That's also something to remember. But also, somebody online went, well, you know, Paul Stanley said blah, blah, blah about Twisted Sister back in the 80s. I went, the fucking 80s, man? Is that where we're going? Is that the defense? We're going to the 80s? You know, and then Dee Snider writes this whole thing because, remember, Dee's smart. And he'll make sure to tell everybody. Okay? Yeah. So he tells everybody how
every
smart
he is. Interview.
Every interview.
And how sober he is.
I am sober.
Yes, we all get it. Starbucks is great.
And you're smart. And you got lots of muscles.
Yeah.
And then
your band ripped off Kiss, and you look like you were in the asylum period, so you're not cool. Fuck off.
And not to mention, also, when he says,
better
I'll get on...
you say, Jody, you might get a handwritten note in the mail soon.
I'll get on stage. Yeah, he says, I'll get on stage and rock off with Paul Stanley, and I'll bury you. It's like, yeah, your voice is... I'm sure your voice is strong, because you took two decades off. Because your band, you know, nobody cared about for 20 years.
Now I know how the cop who always visited my high school felt when he thought that a bunch of kids were going to fight and it turns off they were rap battling. I feel like that cop right now.
You're
grown men. You can have grandchildren by now, you know?
Yeah.
It's just silly, man.
The whole thing is silly. And for Paul Stanley to wait March, April, May, June, July, August, September, before somebody asked him about it and he answered, it's like 6 months later, Paul should have just said, I don't care. I get that. I get that.
It's cool enough to just be like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But
the other thing is, and here's the worst part, man. I really like Dee Snider. I did too.
He flew the flag for rock and metal.
Yeah.
With Tipper Gore was trying to steal everyone's fun away, like some sort of political Grinch.
Absolutely. See, so that's my problem. My big problem is that I like Dee Snider. I like most of Twisted Sister's music. But the problem is I like Paul Stanley and Kiss more. And when you come over and you fuck with the band that I like more, it's going to upset me towards you. And
I didn't really like his music too much, but like I loved what he stood for. And just like, hell yeah, you know what I mean? Like he seemed like a really cool guy. And then
videos were good. The videos were good. They were funny. They were like watching
a little scary.
Like a Roadrunner cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but once again, the other thing that bothered me about that interview when he did it with Eddie Trunk was it was like he was sitting there trying to impress his buddy by ragging on a guy that the other guy doesn't like.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And that's please.
I just think it's lame because I mean, if it wasn't for Kiss, Twisted Sister would never have had a chance to even make records. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like, dude, pay this guy some respect. I mean, you owe him because you would have never been shit without them.
So we didn't have any technical difficulties right there. And we're just continuing our natural conversation.
You guys are funny. So, you know, I don't really want to say anything else about that. Do you guys have anything else to say?
Not really. Go ahead, Jody.
I would just say, man, you know, pay these guys some respect, dude. You owe it to them. And it's as simple as that. Quit trying to get free press by ragging on a band that is like the godfathers of your whole scene.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, you know, what...
If Green Day was trying to bag on the Ramones or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Or Soldier Boy. Sorry, Andrew.
No, that's fine. I just thought that point was kind of lame. But yeah, it's true. It's like Soulja Boy, like, ragging on Ice-T, the original gangster.
Right. OG.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Simmons says he's the original G.
Right.
He's the original Haim. Or probably not, actually. What? Then he wouldn't be the original G. There's plenty. Okay. Sorry.
Edit that out.
Anyway, okay, so let's see. What else happened? Paul Stanley.
Yeah, Soul Station.
Soul Station.
What do you think about that?
The songs I'm familiar with because everything he played seemed to be a classic.
Right.
But unfortunately, the videos that I saw, you could barely hear Paul, and when you could, it seemed pretty good. But
yeah,
you know,
like it was a lot of falsetto, though.
A lot of falsetto.
Did he zip line to the audience?
I didn't see any zip lines.
It's too bad.
But he did look really comfortable on stage, I thought.
He did. When he was playing the tambourine and shit.
Yeah, he was rocking that tambourine.
And he also had like those two chicks singing with him.
Oh yeah, the background singers were great.
Yeah. The band
was
good.
Playing guitar. The guitar player was smoking too.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen that myself live, because even on those crappy YouTube videos, it sounds all right.
Yeah.
But I bet you if you were there, it sounded phenomenal.
So what songs did he play?
Oh, man. A bunch of good ones, man. He did that Get Ready. He did Just My Imagination. He did that Ooh Baby Baby song, Tracks of My Tears. What else did I see? He did Five Stair Steps, that Ooh Child. You know that song? Things are gonna get easier. You know that song?
Yeah. So you know, and do you guys think that this was a question actually that was sent to me? And the question was, do you think that Paul Stanley should stop doing all this extra crap and just save his voice for Kiss.
I think he should do whatever he wants to do, man. He's earned the right.
Yeah, you know? See, that's the way I feel about it, too. I'm like, you know, don't get me wrong. I want to hear him in Kiss with the most powerful voice he has. But you know what, Paul? If that made you happy, man, you go ahead and you do it.
Yeah, and it's not like he was singing at the top of his lungs like he does in Kiss on the Soul Station.
Every one of these songs. Go ahead. Back.
I was just going to say, maybe this would also make him more refreshed in Kiss. Like, he'd feel a little less frustrated. If this was really eating at him to, like, I really want to do this, but I can't because I'm doing more Kiss gigs. And, you know, it's just he has this out of the way. He said, oh, I did it, and then now I can focus back on Kiss.
Right, kind of like with his 80s.
You exactly, know, first to fired up to do Hot in the Shade.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a good thing. It's healthy for him to do. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wish I could have been there. You know?
Yeah, I wish he'd bring it on the road and go a few places.
Didn't Gene do something similar, like, almost 10 years ago?
Jumping Gene band? Simmons thing?
Yeah. Go, Gene Daddy. Go, Gene Daddy.
Funny.
He didn't come around here, but I don't know if he toured or not. Did he tour?
I think it was like a... with Paul or Gene?
Gene.
Oh, I think it was like a Celine Dion type thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have went to see it. My heart
will go on.
That's nowhere near as cool as anything that Paul does, you know?
No. Sure, sure. And, you know, what Paul did was really thought out, obviously, and he was like, you know, what I really want to do is some Motown.
Right. He did a good job, man. I dig it.
Yeah. I if he takes that on the road, even for just a few select shows, I hope he comes to Atlanta.
I hope he comes to St. Louis.
Yeah, Ace, it doesn't come to the South. We're still pissed off about him.
Dude, I'm seeing Ace Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah, I know.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm almost kind of scared because a few of the videos I've seen online, you know,
yeah.
I tend to kind of stay away from anything like that. But, man, some of those videos I've seen are absolutely brutal. And I don't want to leave there thinking, you know, being disillusioned with my ultimate guitar hero. But I'm going, damn it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You'll have a great time. How big is the place? I mean, you've played at this place.
Yeah, it's relatively big. It's not that big. It probably holds about 2,000.
Wow, that's still pretty big.
I'm assuming he won't sell it out.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will.
Well, you know, make sure you give us a report next week.
Yeah, I got you guys covered on that.
Let us know what's up with that.
I'm excited. I want to see him with Richie Scarlett and see what that's all about.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Richie.
Yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned. I'll let you know what I thought next week.
So,
Richie.
So, Paul Stanley's solo thing, we give it a thumbs up so far.
Yeah, I think it's positive thing for him to be doing. Yeah. I liked it.
Agreed.
I want to see I'd rather see a pro shot or something that way we could really see and hear it well.
But... Yeah, I think I read that they shot it for video release.
Cool. On YouTube, it's pretty much just like, you know,
like if
camera phone.
Yeah, camera phones. This week, our main topic for the week, it was Andrew's turn to pick, and he picked Kiss Symphony. Tell everybody why you picked that.
As that was, besides You Wanted the Best, You Got the Best, it was my introduction to Kiss. You know, just had a friend's house, and just he puts that on, like, whoa, just, like, blew my mind. You know, like, and it was the first time I heard a lot of those classics, oddly enough, was Alive 4. I just fell in love with the thing, and then, like, I rented borrowed the CD from the library and just, like, listened to it everywhere, man. So, yeah, it's my big record, or sorry, my big... I guess DVD/CD. You know what I mean?
Sure. I have to be honest, man. I really enjoy watching the symphony because it's just because it's different, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of that was the time where, like, Jody included, but yeah, a lot of fans just sort of, I guess, were burnt out with Kiss and just, like, roll their eyes and just, but I guess this is my starting point. So I guess that's why I have such an emotional attachment to it.
Right.
But it's definitely one of my favorite Alives and just concerts in general, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a decent record, but, yeah, like Andrew was saying, man, for me, at the time, I was over Kiss. Like, I was having one of my moments where I was like, you know what? I'm over it. After the, farewell, and then they just kept going. At the time, my band was happening, and I just wasn't into Kiss. And I was, like, thinking, you know, this is just, like, they're ripping off Metallica, S&M, you know? It's, like, nothing new, nothing exciting.
That's why I always thought the credits at the beginning should have been somebody had this crazy idea.
After watching Metallica.
Yeah, after watching Metallica.
You know? But, you know, so I didn't even really listen to it or buy it until years later. And I still don't actually own it. I watched the... watched it though, you know.
sure. I think when you listen to it, the first thing I got to tell you is I can't comprehend how somebody could take some Kiss music and then write an orchestrated, like, take an orchestra and write the music to it. You know what I'm saying?
He's a professional.
I mean, yeah. You know, that dude, what's his name? Campbell?
David Campbell.
Right.
Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it was the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and David Campbell. He did all of the, you know, arrangements. And we all know that guy is Beck.
That Paul refined it.
Right, yeah, I'm sure.
Still using Paul's refined arrangement.
I had to. I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah.
To this day.
We all know that David Campbell is Beck's father.
Yes.
The
spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's spoiler. Beck's father. So that explains why Beck is the musician that he is. You know, if you go and look at everything that guy can play, it's amazing. But his father apparently is amazing as well. So even more amazing. Right. I don't know how well it sold. It felt like it sold pretty well because so many of my friends had it.
Well, the DVD, I think, is where all the sales came from.
Probably, you know? Yeah.
Was it the Smashes Thrashes of that generation?
Maybe.
Everyone has it, but they're just like, it's there. It's in my shelf.
Dude, when I had Smashes, I used to listen to it all the time because I thought it was a pretty decent compilation of
tunes. Well, then my points out the window.
Yeah, I always skipped over the Eric Carr singing Beth, though.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That was
good thing Gene wasn't managing Liza at that time.
Here's what I don't get. You know, like, if that would happen today, like, say Eric Singer recorded Beth, people would go absolutely postal.
They would.
But back in the day, it wasn't a big deal for Eric Carr to do it, really. It didn't seem like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because Kiss wasn't the triumphant juggernaut anymore. Like, they were big, but they weren't, like... You know, they didn't have the makeup on or anything, so then, you know, it just almost went under the radar, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Okay, and one point that I want to bring up that I'm sure everybody that has ever watched this has thought of, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but this was after the farewell tour.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say about Tommy's wig.
No.
That's the start of the show.
Right. Okay, so follow me here, okay? This is after the farewell tour, okay? Uh-huh. Eric Singer had already been in the band playing in Peter's makeup at this point.
Yeah.
Okay? But somehow Peter wound up back in the band. So my point is if Paul and Gene did not want Peter in the band that bad... Why was he at the symphony?
They were trying to get Ace in there too.
Right.
So they're just trying to have like one more big alive.
But then after the symphony, that's when they did the next tour, which had Tommy on guitar and Peter on drums, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So this to me goes, when I'm watching it, I'm sitting there going, man, this totally shuts down everybody's opinion that they did the farewell tour to get rid of Peter and Ace. Because I know Paul kind of says that, but it's obviously he brought Peter back. And I remember in Tongue Magazine when Gene interviewed Peter, he said, that probably wasn't the last time we'll ever play together. And then it wasn't.
Right. Dude, I think I heard somewhere that they had to have at least three original members by contract to do that.
Yeah, or else Aerosmith wouldn't take them. Aerosmith's management wouldn't have them on the tour.
Yeah, it's like they had to have...
Maybe it was like that whole marketing thing of just, let's try to get a symphony together, make this big DVD. Oh, Ace isn't on board, but Peter's still on board, so might as well make the thing. And then after that, it's, oh, we can't really get rid of Peter, so, you know, because, like, they won't, Ace has nothing, wants nothing to do with the band, and we can't get rid of Peter because, like, they want at least three members.
Right.
So maybe it's that sort of series of situations.
Okay, so let's think about this. Think about what we're saying right now. What we're saying is...
I heard that somewhere. I don't know if that's true.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I think it was Peter's drum tech on that Three Sides interview. I thought he said that. Oh no, it's probably Paul's book.
Was it Paul's book or was it Ed Cannon?
It was one of the two.
Well, I remember. My whole thing, though, is what we're saying here is that Kiss then instead they cowed down to Aerosmith. Is that what we're saying?
Make money.
I mean, they could have made money without Peter Criss. They could have said, "Screw you, go on your tour. We'll go on our own tour, and we'll bring Twisted fucking Sister."
Yeah, that's gonna sell real big.
But you see my point.
Yeah,
they didn't need each other. They could go on tour.
Well, maybe they thought they needed a band like Aerosmith, because I went to that tour and Kiss opened it in St. Louis, which was really weird.
And in Atlanta.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
See, Kiss open for someone was really bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, it was really strange.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but I did think that Aerosmith sounded better that night. And I'm not a big Aerosmith guy whatsoever. But, I mean, they sounded better as a band.
For me, it was the fact that they were on during daylight kind of screwed me up because it was an outdoor show. And
yeah, it's like seeing Judas Priest out. Like in daylight, I saw footage of something like that. Like later, Priest in daylight, it's weird, you know.
Yeah.
You like need darkness.
The darkness, the lightning.
Right.
I had lightning. It was raining. My damn girlfriend at the time bought tickets on the Aerosmith website because she was a fan on the fan club, you know, and they sold us tickets. Our tickets were one row past the cover.
Ooh.
And it sucked. And then even better, when God of Thunder started, it rained even harder. And nice. I remember I looked at her and I was like, "Wow, this is really strange."
Nice synchronicity.
Yeah. Let's talk about the track listings. Act one. That's what they call Act one. Act two. Act three. Act one was just Kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. Deuce, Strutter, Let Me Go Rock and Roll, Lick It Up, Calling Dr. Love, and Psycho Circus.
Circus.
Say Psycho Circus like Gene.
Who, me?
Yeah, of course you.
Who else?
Wait, say it or say it like say, Psycho Circus?
Yes, that sounds so good.
Psycho Circus. And want to be a crazy psycho circus.
And so that set list is now that's just the band. And
you know what? Did you watch it or are you talking about just listening to it?
I skipped over that one. I mean, I've seen it 100 times because I watched the video.
I actually watched it and I was super impressed with Tommy, dude. He was especially on Let Me Go Rock and Roll. He rips that Ace lead like perfect, dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I mean, that's what he's paid the big bucks for.
Yeah, I love it. And everyone hates it, but I love it. But anyways, continue. My bad.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, they threw every one of those songs are good.
Played well. Yeah. Even with Peter, Chris. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. The documentary that they make, you know, that you can watch where it takes them from the beginning to them getting on stage all the way through the symphony concert. It's really good. And
that was the best part about it, I thought.
I thought so, too. And I always like, you can totally tell that Tommy is reading his lines. You know, he's like, when he's talking, he's like, I mean, I was the new guy. And then later
on. Say it more like this, Tommy.
Yeah, and then later on, Peter's like, oh, I met the drummers and the percussionists, and they were really sweet. They let me touch their stuff. I saw that in the movie theater because if you guys, I don't know if you remember, but when it came out originally, they showed it across the U.S. in movie theaters, select theaters. And it was
really?
Yeah. And it was me and my buddy Doug, who I did a show with one time. It was Lee, the Goddess of Thunder. It was Nickelback Rick, his son nice. Trey.
Man, the original Podcast Rock City crew. Yeah,
we all went to the movie theater to see it. And when Peter said they let me touch their stuff, the entire theater, and it was full packed. Everybody cracked up laughing because it sounded so, and then it's like he's sitting there talking about a snare drum to these people. That's like, it was like a 600-year-old snare drum. And they're like, you could look at their faces and they're sitting there just so not interested, you know?
Right.
At least that's the way I took it. I was like, they didn't seem interested in knowing about a 600-year-old snare drum.
So you actually saw the whole damn symphony in the theater, huh?
It was the documentary and the symphony.
That's badass.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the movie theater. And we were there with, and I can't think of his name right now, but like the local radio station like hosted it, gave away copies of it. We even had, his name is escaping me right now, but Creatures of the South is the website down here that the expos get run on. And if you remember, there was a time when an expo got raided and they like arrested a bunch of people for selling bootlegs and shit like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the dude that ran that, he was with us as well. Wow. I think this was before. Bless you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I think it was before the suing and all that other stuff happened, but yeah, man, that was pretty cool. There was a lot of people there to watch that, and then the messed up thing is the theater we had to go to see it was not close. It was like an hour drive, but you know, we made the pilgrimage to go see Kiss in the movie theater, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Okay, so we agree, you know, Act One is just like a Kiss concert, nothing, you know, except for Tommy, the fact that Tommy kills it on, you know, it's nothing special, it's the same old,
right.
You know, there wasn't anything, we went, man, they covered this, which is, you know, usual. So, you know, for Andrew, though, you know, this is the first time you're, at this point, Act One, is that's the first time you're ever hearing them, right? Or did you just...
Or seeing them.
Yeah. Essentially seeing I seen snippets on TV, but just like a full blown Kiss concert is my first time watching one.
Nice.
Wow.
And it was pretty good.
Okay, so then after that, I guess they take a little break and then they do Act Two, which is with members, it's an ensemble. So it's a smaller group of classical musicians.
Yeah, the one dude that looks like Bill Clinton, sort of, with the Paul star.
How funny.
Yeah. Oh, I know him. Yeah.
That's
and cool. The one, the Jean chick. They keep showing the same two people over and over.
Oh, yeah. That's one other thing I want to mention. The girls that they show in this video are so amazing. Every single, but I don't know exactly what song, and I'll find it and fit. But at one point, they show this girl in the crowd, and she's beautiful. And she lifts her arms, and she has more hair under her pits than my father did. And I actually went, what the hell did I just see? And rewound it and, looked again. I was like, son of a bitch, she has the hairiest armpits.
You know what that means, right?
No, fill me in.
Man, that means the basement's fucking way overgrown.
Like, you know, buckwheat and a head scissors?
Yeah, exactly.
How nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
You can't take the time to do her pits. Come on.
Yeah, then shit that's downstairs disgusting. Is messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So the songs that they did with the ensemble, they started with Beth. And that's pretty different, you know, but they started with Beth, then they did
because it's like live instead of a backtrack. I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Forever, Going Blind, Sure Know Something, and Shandy. Of course, Shandy is a hit down there.
Right.
Shandy.
Yeah.
Well, half the female audience under, or 18 or under are probably named Shandy.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
I think it's really amazing that, I mean, the people of Australia were so lucky that they got to see this, because if they'd have held this in the U.S., I would have figured out how to go. I always wanted a tour book from it because I collect the tour books, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you just can't. You can't find them. People aren't giving them up, you know, on eBay. If you're out there and you lit and you're a listener and you love the show and you'd love to mail me one, or you know, or a pic. I would love a pic too. You know, yeah. You just hook up with me and I'll tell you.
Or
how
a
to
lock
do that.
Of armpit hair.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh.
By now,
a whole baggie full. Huh?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Anyway. All right. So. All right.
Wool.
So all the songs that they did with the ensemble were perfect, as far as I'm concerned. Forever Acoustic sounds great. Mm-hmm. You know, Going Blind.
Sure Know Something with that acoustic bass.
Yeah.
Except for the part that Zinzak don't like, where Gene puts the extra notes in.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
We'll get to him later, though.
Yeah, we'll get to Chris later.
Right on.
And then Shandy, like we said.
I think it's cool they're playing so many songs from Dynasty.
Yeah, good one.
We're in your home now, so you say Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Not playing anything from The Elder. How many of you have The Elder? And then Tommy raises
his hand.
Hey, wasn't there, you know, and I can't remember, wasn't there one person like before the show going, I think they're going to play this from The Elder and that from The Elder. And
he would say it's going to be screaming bloody murder or some shit.
Yeah, if they didn't.
Like, dude,
there was one upset fan probably after.
I like how the kid, there's a lot of Peter Criss fans that didn't get to see him before when they came there with Singer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. And the kid even bitches about it.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, I'm really glad that Peter's here, you know. It stinks that he didn't come the last time. And then, you know, to me, having that little kid say that right there, I almost felt like it was like a little jab at Peter. Look what you did. You didn't come because you wanted more money, and this kid was miserable about it. He's lucky. He's just lucky to see you. And he didn't come when, you know, in the 80s either.
Right, obviously.
Yeah.
He was out of control.
Good one. Ba-dum-boom.
Yes. Andrew's on it.
He's on. Yeah. He's on.
Like Donkey Kong at the heart of Dong.
Well, all right. All right.
Well, all right.
Yeah, okay. So we once again, we agree the songs they picked to do acoustically, great songs. Mm-hmm. Although they could have done A World Without Heroes or something like that, even though the people wouldn't have known them.
Imagine Under the Rose.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Odyssey.
And you have like, ooh, yeah.
See, look, they should have called Andrew.
Yeah.
They should have
asked him a question.
Andrew.
No,
anyway.
That was a little... Not yet.
All right. Okay. So, Act 3.
Don't just tell me to piss off.
Act 3. Kiss with the Melbourne, or is it Melbourne or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Symphony Orchestra,
under the direction of Peter Jackson. Yes. Apparently, that's the only accent I can do from that region.
Peter Jackson.
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings bloody. Trilogy.
Yeah.
All right, songs.
Sorry, Act 3.
Act 3. Detroit Rock City, King of the Nighttime World, Do You Love Me, Shout It Out Loud, God of Thunder, Love Gun, Black Diamond, Great Expectations.
Like half a destroyer.
Yeah. I Was Made for Loving You, Rock and Roll All Night. And during Great Expectations, they had the Australian Children's Choir singing with them, which I thought was cool, but I also noticed that only like 4 kids were holding microphones.
Right.
So I'm not.
You can hear them, though.
You can hear them, but it's like they wanted to make sure these certain 4 really got out there.
Right.
It was great, man. I really enjoyed the show. I really enjoyed the, you know, with the org. It's so powerful, you know? Yeah.
My only critique would be I could do without all the weird angle cuts and whatnot.
Like, yeah, it's a little jumpy, dude.
Seemed like a little Phantom Menace, sort of. Right. I guess that was in vogue.
You know what I don't like about it, if I had to critique it, man? I don't really care for the charts that David Campbell came up with for the songs. Like, a lot of times, they're doing these different counter melodies that, to me, are just kind of distracting. You know what I mean?
Like in dun, 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 they're going dun, 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 dun,
It's a little much for me personally.
Oh, I like it. It's like Kiss and Yngwie.
I think it would have been cooler if they would have stuck more towards the roots and the riffs a little bit here and there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But you know, this is a guy that's going,
I disagree.
This is a guy that's going, I'm gonna show everybody how smart I am.
Mm-hmm. And my spawn will take over the world.
Yes. And he'll win a Grammy and almost get in a fight with Kanye West.
Man, someone needs to. I don't like that guy at all.
He's going to run for president. He's going to be ruining your world one day, so be prepared.
The day he gets elected, we'll know this. Like, people are completely whacked.
No, we'll know that we're moving in with Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plenty of room.
We'll talk about that off air. Anyway, yeah, okay. So, what do you guys do? You like that set list? I mean, you're like me. It is most of Destroyer. I love the Great Expectations thing. I thought that was great. Expectations.
Yeah, kind of done without Do You Love Me, but everyone knows that I'm iffy on that song.
Yeah, they could have put something else in there.
Mm-hmm. All Night Symphony.
It's like the all one. Right. The one thing. I'll tell you what, though. At the end, though, at the end of the documentary, when they're showing the orchestra people, the ones that they interview, you could tell were genuinely happy. They were like, you know, they were like, I wish we were going on tour. That one girl said, you know, I could go on the road with them for 6 months. That was so much fun, you know. And
right.
And when you can look at her face and tell she means it, you know. It was just, I don't know, I guess it. Other orchestras, obviously, and symphonies have worked with rock bands and metal bands. I get that. But this was obviously their first time. So they didn't have to be stuffy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and they had the big stage show. And
with the explosions and the makeup. And the
people were in the audience screaming and, yeah, you know.
Showing boobs.
Yeah.
And you don't usually get that.
Showing the down unders. Sorry for any Australian listeners at these terrible impersonations.
Oh, man, I love you, Andrew.
Right back at you, buddy.
I don't know. Anyway.
Group hug.
Yeah.
So, So what else do you guys think about the symphony?
I don't think it should have been an alive.
I don't either.
I think it just would have been cooler as symphony.
I don't count it in the alive series, honestly. I know it is an official alive, but I don't think it should have been.
The cover's kind of cool, but I hate that little blood splatter on there. It feels like I spilled like. Like just like cherry sauce or something on the side of there.
So do any of you guys actually have the vinyl? Does it have a gatefold? Like, I don't even have it, so I don't know.
I want to get the vinyl.
Okay.
I don't have
the vinyl. Is for sale at this place that I shop at called Second and Charles, but it, Chris Sinzak and I saw it the other day. It was $40. It is a double album, and it does seem to open up like
a... Wait, for a double album?
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
That makes it more like an alive, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just alive too, with a bunch of violins that they just photoshopped in there.
Let me ask you this, since we're on that subject. Man, I want to hear about fucking you hanging out with Zinzak, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's take a little detour. I want to hear about it.
Okay, here we go.
Two powerful and attractive men.
For those of you that don't know, Chris Sinzak is one of the hosts of Decibel Geek. And one day, about a year ago, when I started doing Podcast Rock City by myself originally, he messaged me and he goes, man, you're never going to believe this. And he goes, I know we don't know each other, but I live in Tennessee and I was just on your Facebook page and I noticed that you went to the same high school in Georgia as I did. And I was like, get the hell out of here. So we started talking and he told me that he lived in Georgia in the area that I did, which was Kennesaw, Georgia. Two different times. One point he lived there for a bunch of years, then he moved, and then his dad got shipped back with his job. I don't think he was in the military. It was just some whatever job he did. And he lived in Kennesaw like two different times. His brother was in high school with me. I didn't know him, as far as I know. And he went to the middle school because he's a few years younger than I am.
Right.
So he messaged me Now, we, of course, he's been on the show. You guys have heard him on the show, and you've heard his show, Decibel Geek. And if you have not, you need to go and subscribe right now.
Right now.
Do it. Pause it and subscribe.
Yeah, because their show is great. It's not only about Kiss, but their favorite band is Kiss. And
can't wait to check out that fucking Maiden show.
Oh, I listened to it. I listened to it, yeah. So, all right, so... he messaged me and he said, "Hey man, John Corabi's gonna be in your town doing the whole Motley 94 album." And I was like, "Awesome, man! Why don't you come down?" And he goes, "Oh, I really wish I could." So I said, "Well, listen, I got an extra bedroom. If you want to come down here and see the show, I'll give you a place to stay. It won't cost you nothing. Just drive down, get a ticket, and we'll go." So about a month later, he messaged me and goes, "Well, my boss," meaning his wife, "said it's cool." So he got his ticket, and then on Friday he drove down. He met me at my work, and he came in and he sat in on my rock class, because I'm a music teacher, and right. I teach a group of kids on Friday, and how to be in a rock band. And he sits down, and I told him, "Go to it." And I said, "Chris here's a big Kiss fan," and they went right into Detroit Rock City, solo and everything. And Chris was like, "Damn, they're good." Right, and on. I was like, yeah, man, they've been playing together for a bunch of years.
Do they call you Mr. Schneebly?
No.
Actually, it's pronounced Schneeble.
Right.
I will tell you, that was good. I will tell you that they call me Joe.
What up, Joe?
What's up, Joe? That is how it works. And
do they play "Hey Joe" by Hendrix?
No.
They should.
But I can tell you that, and this is, of course, off the subject of what we're talking about, but I can tell you that they do everything from Ramones, nice. Kiss, Beatles, Guns N' Roses. They do White Stripes. They do. I mean, it's all over the place. They even do like House of the Rising Sun. So, nice. So you can see it's really well rounded. Though it's not all just classic rock, and they do some Chili Peppers.
Huey Lewis in the News.
We do. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, all right. So they jammed for Chris for about a half an hour, and then it ended. I took him upstairs to show him the Kiss room that we have at Pioneer Music, which is where I work. And I will tell you, he was totally and completely blown away when he walked in there, because it is a small 12x12 room, but it is so full of Kiss stuff that he actually looked at me at one point and goes, "Man, can I just spend the night in here? This is awesome." I will. In the 12x12 room, not only do we have shelves and shelves of Kiss stuff, but we also have a Kiss pinball machine in there.
What?
The classic run. And we also have a coffin.
Jeez.
And I
never knew you had a whole Kiss room at your store.
Yeah. And the walls are painted with Kiss. We've had artists come in, and the windows on the outside of the store have nothing but classic musicians painted on them. And there's a Gene and there's an Ace. Along with
this is the first time we're hearing about
that.
Well, I'll take some pictures.
Yeah, do that.
I'll take some pictures, and we even have I'll take some pictures and put in video and put it on the Facebook page, and you guys will see it, and you'll be like, Chris was like, "Geez, this is the coolest freaking music store I've ever been in."
Sounds like
it's
it, man.
It's like, you know, we have, you know, anyway, being, you know, the fact that, you know, the owner, Doug, is a huge Kiss fan makes it fun for me to work there. He and I grew up together, so Kiss is a constant thing. You know, he'll call me up and go, "Hey, man, Court's making Gene's basses. You want one?" And I'll go, "Yeah, how much?" And then, you know, I'll get it. He'll buy them just so me and all of our friends could get them at cost.
Right.
You know, so he'll sign into the deal, and we get them, and we all, you know. He doesn't really make any money doing that. He just charges us for shipping and then the guitar. And that's pretty cool. And I've had to sell mine because, well, let's not open up that wound. Anyway. So we hang out. We go to dinner. My girlfriend's with us, Karen. We went to this place called World of Beer. And they had good food. I had a bacon cheeseburger and... I think Chris had like chicken tacos or something. But, you know, they had their specialty beers, you know. I'm not a drinker.
Craft beers.
Craft. Yeah, that's what they were. And, you know, they enjoyed, you know, they had a good time. And then we went to a couple record shops because Chris wanted to check them out. And and while we're standing there, on the shelf is a CD of the Motley 94 album for like $2 or something like that. So he's like, oh, yeah, I'll buy that. And just in case we get to meet John Corabi. So end of the night, we go, we take two cars because my girlfriend can't drive. You know, she can't stay late because she has no babysitter. And the kids don't really need babysitter. But at 12, you know, at 12 o'clock at night, you don't want the 13 and 10 year old at the house. So she left early, but we went, and as soon as we walked in, I see Lee Westy, the Goddess of Thunder, there. I see a whole bunch of people that I recognize, and even one of Chris's fans is there to meet, you know, the band, which was really awesome. And
that was cool.
That was really cool. And so we're all hanging out and talking music, you know, and doing our thing. And then John Corabi comes on and he plays. And I will tell you, in all honesty, up until that point, I had only heard the Motley album with John Corabi once. And it was riding in the car with Chris to the show. I had not. Vince wasn't in the band. I wasn't interested. And I really feel bad about that now because the music is great. It's really heavy. It's really written well. The songs are good. But, you know, we sat around and we watched the show. And there was probably, I would say, 250 to 300 people there. And for a $20 ticket, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So he does the show, and then he comes. He told some Motley stories, which were really good, about how he was getting ready to how he got the gig was he was getting ready to leave for the final leg of a his band, The Scream. They were going on a final leg, and as he was walking out, he said his wife goes, "Don't go anywhere. Take this call." And he's like, "I gotta leave." She's like, "Take this call." And it was, you know, Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx going, "Hey, you want to jam?" I don't know how I'd react, you know,
right,
to getting that kind of a phone call. I would go, "Jody, why are you calling me and playing this game with my head?" Anyway,
right.
So the show was real good. And then at the end of the show, we sat in the bar with Chris and his buddy, and we talked nothing but Kiss, and you know, a lot. We just talked music, but a lot of Kiss. About, I'd say, about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, we hop in the car, and we start heading to the hotel that my girlfriend got us. And Chris, the whole time, he's like, "Man, your girlfriend's awesome. This is, you know, too cool." And so he goes, "I'm hungry," and I go, "Great." We go to the Steak and Shake, and we order the food, and we're sitting in line, and he goes, "Oh no, I left my credit card back at the bar."
Oh, man.
And he goes, and he apologized like 50 times. I'm like, "It's not a big deal. It's like a 10-minute drive. We'll go." And they had it. That, of course, you know, we called ahead of time and they still had it. And then we, you know, drove back at this time because I pulled out of the line of the Steak and Shake. I didn't want to go back. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I'm that asshole. You know, where they made the food. And now they're spitting in it. So we stopped and got something to eat, went back. And I passed out rapidly. I didn't have anything to drink, to be honest with you, because I had to drive. But poor Chris apparently didn't sleep very well because he wound up with a headache. He got up before I walk out of the bedroom and I look at, and he's watching Rocky.
Nice.
First, I'm like, "Dude, you already took a shower and everything," because I didn't sleep very well. So if you go on Facebook, you can find a picture of us eating at the IHOP with his hand in his face, face in his hand. And it was a little over-exaggerated. He was okay, especially after he got food in him, and I gave him some extra strength Tylenol. But, then at the end of the meal, he went about his, you know, way to go and visit some friends that, you know, he knows from living down here, and I haven't talked to him since, but I hope he had a great time, and I had a great time, and he told me he had a great time. You know, it was just one of those things where because we've talked online and we've listened to each other for years, we felt like we knew each other.
Right. That's just so cool, man. You're like meeting everyone. I can't wait till we get together.
Yeah, man. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've now met Chris and I've met Matt, and you know, we got to work it out. I know I can tell you guys, cuz I don't know if you guys have been watching, but Matt Porter is starting to ask a lot of questions about who's going to make it to Cleveland.
Dude, I think aren't we going?
Yeah, I already said I know Jody and D-Rock I think are going to drive.
Yeah.
So I said we got
to. I might actually bring my girl, and that way she can just chill at the hotel while we do our kiss business. But, yeah. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
She kind of wants to come too, so.
Absolutely, it'll be a lot of fun.
Andrew.
What?
Andrew's gonna make it. We're gonna get him down there.
We gotta get Andrew down here.
Gotta get.
I said I was gonna go.
Yeah, we're gonna make sure it happens.
Far.
No, I'll be there.
Oh yeah, we got plenty of time to make it happen.
You can count.
I can't wait to just meet all of us, man.
Yeah. Crazy. As a matter of fact,
not only you guys, but like Matt and
And I think a couple of the guys from KST were even saying, "Oh yeah, man, we're gonna be there." Yeah.
We got it. I'd love to meet Dez, Adam, and Lee, man.
Yeah, have a beer.
In person.
Oh,
we've had them on the show, but man, meeting is so much cooler.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if I'm also Canadian with my fellow Canadians.
Yeah, what about Cassius?
Cassius chimed in and said that he's a broke teenager, so most likely he wouldn't be able to come. But I bet you that we could figure out a way to raise the money to get Cassius down.
That'd be cool.
By then, he'll be like 17 or 18 years old, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, so this was pretty awesome.
So we're going to dress up as Kiss? What's going on? Are we going to wear the makeup?
Yeah.
Podcast Park City plus someone else?
Yeah, I don't think I'm wearing the makeup.
Come on, Joe. You got to be Peter Criss.
I'm a fat Gene. I'll be fat Gene. Oh, look at me. Hopefully by then I'll be skinny. Okay, so that of course that was a lot of fun.
Tall Vinny.
Tall Vinny. Awesome.
Dress or no dress?
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was a good one. It's funny how everybody knows about that but me. All right, so that was my story. Chris Sinzak, thank you very much for coming down. I had a great time. Remember, go and subscribe to Decibel Geek. It is a wonderful show. They talk all kinds of, and every July they have Kissmas in July, and it's really good shows. And
now they're on Wednesdays.
Right. So just download their shows. Just download a few. You know, if I can promise you this, even though there might be a show about a band that's not related to Kiss, somehow they related to Kiss.
Right.
So they talk about Kiss and just about every single episode.
Plus a lot of other cool shit, you know. They got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, they, you know, and they're just a positive entity, and they're, and you know, like I said, it sounds like
a really well put together show as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like I'm brown nosing now, but that is not what I am doing.
Nah, man, we love that show. It's great. And it's cool you met him, and I'm jealous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get to everybody, trust me. All right, so that brings us to our favorite part of the show, and that is Ask Andrew. Okay. All right, so this week's question comes from John. It says something with a B. I'm sorry I can't pronounce your name. I've been trying. I almost went to try, but I forget it. It's so, John B. John B. Hi, John.
Be good.
Okay.
John B.
All right. This is a technical question.
Okay.
Which Kiss album do you think is the best that's the worst recorded?
That's obvious.
Well, I guess it'd be Hotter Than Hell. But...
You see, yeah, it is Hotter Than Hell.
Especially for Andrew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great album, but really, to me, tinny and thin. And
non-makeup, it'd probably be... Animalize.
I think it'd be Hot in the Shade, non-makeup.
Oh, shit, yeah. Definitely Hot in the Shade. If they, like, trimmed the fat and, like, beefed up the production, that'd have a different... Maybe get rid of the sphinxter, that'd have a different place in Kistery. So, yeah, probably for non-makeup, Hot in the Shade, but obvious one, definitely Hotter Than Hell.
Did you say get rid of the sphincter?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sphinxter.
I said sphinxter.
That is wonderful. For those of you, and I know I'm getting this late, but for those of you who don't know what Ask Andrew is our 22-year-old partner and brother from another mother, and people are always interested in knowing what Andrew's 22-year-old mind and as a KISS fan thinks of these things. And a lot of times they're different than what we think because he's just from a different era. If you'd like to ask Andrew a question, all you have to do is send a letter to us, Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. Anyway. That reminds me when somebody was asking me for my email address. And who was it? I can't remember who it was, but when I sent it to them, they were like, oh, shouldn't it be at gstring.com? And I was like, no.
Oh, shit, am I messing up?
They know better. They were playing.
Oh, good.
Anyway, yeah, cool. So send Andrew or any of us a message, and we'll get, we'll answer them. We'll get back to you. We really appreciate it. Listen, a couple of different things. Go to iTunes and leave us a review, please. We're up to 18 reviews, and I would love to get 20 or 25, by the time, a couple of more shows go through. So go to iTunes, leave us a review, and don't...
We only have 18 reviews?
Yeah.
After all the people that listen, we only have 18 reviews.
Well, the problem is that people don't take the time. If you could go on some of the shows and that have been... I mean, and you got to remember, man, we've only been around a short time. And you could go and look at some of the other shows and you would go, God, I would really think that they would have 1,000. But they don't, It's really crazy.
So we need some then.
Yeah, we want some reviews. And
if you're like, these guys suck, leave a review anyway.
Yeah, leave a review anyway. It happens to all of them. I've gone through, except for the KISS room, Podkist, which we know only got one bad review and it involved KISS Unmasked. That's funny.
That is funny.
Also, go to podcastrockcity.com. All the old shows are on there. You could go, there's the front page when you get on there, are the last four shows that we've done. You could just read what it is, click on the show, listen to it in the background while you're at work. Remember, don't get fired.
Yeah, it's not really safe for work.
No, it's not safe for work. And then, or at home is fine. And then there's another page that has a scroll through bar where you can just scroll through, look at the topics of the shows, pick one, excuse me, and listen to it and have a good time and enjoy, listening to all of our discussions. There's also a donation button there. If you guys would love to help us pay for the show, anything is good, even a dollar. That would be awesome. It's, credit card or PayPal or whatever they do. Anyway. Thank you guys again for listening. Jody, do you have anything to add?
I would say, hey, go to that Redbubble and get yourself a Podcast Rock City t-shirt, hoodie, thong, what have you.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Thank you very much.
You can get our logo on anything you want, man. A phone case, a poster, a blanket, whatever.
Yeah, and there's a link right on the Podcast Rock City website. Yes.
Podcast Rock City Magic Bullets.
Yes.
Slap Chop.
GMO-free foods.
Oh, I swear I would love to have a slap chop with the Vince's autograph. Okay, anyway. Andrew Kiss, you have anything
I'm
to add?
I have nightmares about that.
Do you have anything?
You got the last word, Andrew? What's up?
What's your last word?
I don't know. Drive
this is
safe.
Andrew Kiss with the last word.
Oh, I don't know. Just have a great week, everyone. Make sure to drive safe and... Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to the show. We love you very much. We love you. Anyway, yeah, absolutely. And we actually love a lot of shows, including Decibel Geek, which you heard us talking about. And you're going to hear all of their commercials at the end of our show. And that's going to happen in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Yes! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f***. Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theory. We bust balls because we care.
Hey, everybody. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going.